Seek the good Lord with us today. You could print my outline out if you want to off of the website here. We'll remind you that we are meeting out at Kalita at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, and we're practicing all the CDC guidelines as we do that. We're going to continue our study of the book of Acts this morning, seeking this life in the Spirit. They write commentaries on Acts, either the life of the apostles or the life of the Holy Spirit. And we're choosing to look at it from the life of the Holy Spirit. So, the message is for September 20th of 2020. It's entitled The Jerusalem Council, number 2. We'll be looking in the book of Acts, starting at chapter 15 and going from verse 12 to verse 21. My outline, the Jerusalem Council number 2. My point number 1, James the peacemaker. And point 2 on our outline, James the politician. 2-point outline this week. James will write the book of James, and many also think he is the author of the book of Jude. Oftentimes in those days, disciples took on a second name or a new name when they became born again, and James took on the name Jude. James is a half-brother of Jesus. That strike you odd in your mind? James is Jesus' half-brother? God thought of everything. He had Jesus even experience what so many people do today, living in a blended family. You see, James and Jesus had the same mother but different fathers, like is so often the case in the culture we live in. James is one of my personal heroes, and you may ask, why is that, Wilmer? Well, it's because he was slow on the uptake. I'm like James in this. James was slow to believe his brother was who he said he was, saying he was. So James was slow to believe Jesus was who he said he was saying. Do you know someone who is or has been slow on their willingness to see Jesus for who he is? I believe there is a someone in each of our lives that we need to not give up on. They may be slow on the uptake, but there is a lot of hope for them. You see, after Jesus resurrected from the dead, James believed. Jesus' mother Mary and her children traveled with Jesus for the 3 years of his ministry. I often mistakenly think that if I had seen all the miracles Jesus did, I would have believed in him and what he was saying, that he was the Messiah, the promised one of God. But that's a mistake. Many people saw what he did and did not believe. The resurrection of Christ, Paul writes about that in his letter to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. I'm going to read to you from the NIV Reader's Version. Paul writes, "What I received, I passed on to you, and it is the most important of all. Here is what it is. Christ died for our sins, just as Scripture said he would. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as Scripture said he would be. He appeared to Peter. Then he appeared to the 12. He appeared to James. Then he appeared to all the apostles." The end. So James got to have a face-to-face, one-on-one, so to speak, with his half-brother Jesus. Wouldn't it have been fun to be a fly on that wall watching that reunion? What did they talk about? I wonder. James was slow to become a believer, but after he believed, he was a dynamic leader of the church in Jerusalem. This issue of circumcision was the same story in James' life. Last week, James led some of the circumcision group to Antioch, and that event is at the center of the question before the church body today. In Acts chapter 15, verse 12 through 21, and I'll read to you from the NIV Reader's Version, everyone became quiet as they listened to Barnabas and Paul. They were telling about all the miraculous signs and wonders God had done through them among the Jews. The non-Jews, the Gentiles. When they finished, James spoke up. Brothers, he said, listen to me. Simon Peter has explained to us how God first showed his concern for those who aren't Jews. He chose them to be his very own people. He chose some of them to be his very own people. The prophet's words agree with that. They say, after this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. I will rebuild what he destroyed. I will make it what it used to be. Then the rest of the people can look to the Lord. This means all the non-Jews who belong to me. The Lord says this. He is the one who does these things. That's from Amos chapter 9, verses 11 to 12. The Lord does these things, and the Lord does things that have been known for a long time. Now, here is my opinion, James said. We should not make it hard for the non-Jews who are turning to God. Here is what we should write to them. They must not eat food polluted by being offered to statues of gods. They must not commit sexual sins. They must not eat meat of the animals that have been choked to death, and they must not drink blood. These laws of Moses have been preached in every city from the earliest times. They are read aloud in the synagogues every Sabbath day. That's the end of our reading of Acts 15. So our outline, the Jerusalem Council number 2. Here is our first point, James the peacemaker. James the peacemaker. The Holy Spirit and James provide a path to peace for this conflict within the young church. James was the leader of the Jerusalem church. His leadership was not a formal position. It was a moral leadership given to him because he had an outstanding life and was an outstanding person. James' knees were said to be hard as camels because he knelt in prayer so often and so long. He was called James the Just. James was a vigorous observer of the law. So when James came down on the side of the Gentiles in the gospel of grace, all of them took notice and gave respect to it. A on our outline. The gospel of grace is affirmed. The gospel of grace is affirmed. And I underlined the word affirmed. This passage of scripture is saying to us that Paul, Barnabas, Peter, and James all agreed that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus. It is Christ alone, by grace alone, by faith alone, plus nothing. Here is the official letter given to assure the Gentiles that they do not have to be circumcised to be saved. I'm quite sure there were a lot of men that were very thankful when this was read to him. Circumcision would be a major commitment to Christ. When the Gentiles heard that the gospel of grace had the backing of the Jerusalem church, they rejoiced. The church should never be divided about the gospel of grace. We can disagree on a lot of things, but never should we disagree about the gospel of grace. But sadly, we do. A.W. Tozier wrote this. There are so many who want to trust Christ plus something else. They want to trust Christ and add their own morals. They want to trust Christ and add on their own good works. They want to trust Christ and then point to the merits of their baptism or church membership or stewardship or maybe a public confession they have made. Let me tell you straight out that Jesus will never stand at the right side of a plus sign. If you will insist upon adding some plus to your faith in Jesus Christ, He will walk away in His holy dignity. He will ever refuse to be considered the other part of a plus sign. If you trust in the plus, something added, then you do not possess Christ at all. That's the end of my A.W. Tozier quote. That is as straightforward as I could find. Jesus is to be glorified by us. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Jesus is the only way back to relationship with God. Over the years, the United Brethren in Christ had developed a long list of add-ons and pluses to our pure statement of faith. It was called the discipline. When I was given my first copy, I was overwhelmed with the rules and regulations. A three-ring binder of rules and regulations. Up till then, I had only read our statement of faith and thought, boy, we got it right. Well, when I went to my first national conference, it was in Huntington, Indiana. I sat in the back of the meeting, trying my best to just be on the fly on the wall and watch what we do as a denomination. The very first morning, Bishop had me stand up in front of everyone and told them it was my first time at a national conference. And he bragged how I had rode a motorcycle there in the hot summer heat. So much for hiding in the corner. That day, I was encouraged when the ruling body cut about a third out of the discipline. Each national conference since, we have cut more out of the rules one has to do in our discipline. The present national movement to encourage the restoring of the Holy Spirit is rightful place in our denomination is one of the best changes we've made in years. Focusing on the Spirit and less on the rules is one of the best things we've been doing in years. Be on the outline. The Old Testament prophesied Gentiles would become God's people too. The Old Testament prophesied Gentiles would become God's people too. James is saying that these Old Testament prophecies are starting to be fulfilled. These things will be finished in the time that we call the millennium. When Jesus comes back as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords, all will bow to Him as He's sitting on the throne of David. See on our outline. James went to the Word of God for his opinion. James went to the Word of God for his opinion. James went to God's Word for the ultimate test of truth. This is how we should evaluate events too. We should look to the Bible. We all have our own beliefs, our own convictions, our own opinions and experiences. Some of them are very strong. It is common for us to think that we are normal and our ideas are the norm too. Do you agree with those thoughts? It is easy to think that others' ideas are inferior or invalid compared to ours. One would do well to trust the Holy Spirit and the Bible more than our doctrines and our opinions. What I'm challenging is trust in the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the Bible more than the doctrines we have been taught and the personal opinions we have. So number two on my outline, James the politician. So we had James the peacemaker. Now let's look at James the politician. James gives the Jews and the Gentiles something in his opinion. He gives each of them something when he renders his opinion. A on our outline, the Jews get the promise of David's kingdom being restored. The Jews get the promise of David's kingdom being restored. And underline the word promise. When Jesus returns, he will set things right. The Gentiles are instructed to be sensitive to the Jews. To smooth things over between the Jews and the Gentiles, they should avoid doing things that will cause conflict. This was not a question of law. James was making it one of love. Telling them to abstain from food that had been polluted by idols, from meat strangled in animals and that had their blood in them, was common. And James is saying, resist purchasing them. James starts with a spiritual issue of idols. Most of the meat sold in the Gentile markets had been ritually offered to an idol. So he's saying, avoid that when you do your shopping. Be on the outline. Gentiles get, we should not make it difficult for Gentiles who are turning to God. This is what the Gentiles get. We should not make it difficult for Gentiles who are turning to God. And underline James' word, difficult. But there are some things that are essential to life with a holy God. See on your outline, to abstain from sexual immorality. To abstain from sexual immorality. Underline the word abstain. This issue was as important then as it is today. This is where I want to call each of us to consider personal repentance in our life. See, the Holy Spirit knew what was happening then. The Holy Spirit knew what we would need in this day. The Holy Spirit wants what is best for us then and now. I have thought this often. Sex is one of, if not the best thing one can experience in this life. Sex outside of God's parameters is one of, if not the worst thing, one can do to themselves and others. I've thought of that paradox. Sex is one of the best things you ever get to experience. But sex outside the parameters is one of the worst things we can do to ourselves and to other people. It has been said that chastity was the only completely new virtue that Christianity brought into the world. In an impure world, Christians are called to be pure. We live in a very impure world. They did then also. And Christians are called to be different, are called to be pure. This is a moral issue. Many Gentiles were brought up in societies that had a wide tolerance for sexual sin. And many of the worship practices in those days included sexual acts with temple prostitutes. Does that look like the day we live in, where there are wide tolerance for sexual sin in our culture? James is saying that God's moral law has to be obeyed. Do you see the church at large saying this in 2020? Personally, our national conference is doing well to maintain a good moral stance of our denomination in the changing morals and sexual roles in our nation. James is saying there could be no give and take on God's moral law. This was not legalism. This was what's right. Liberty was not a license. Liberty was not a license then. Liberty is not a license now. Here's a little side note that I noticed. As we're studying the book of Acts, we often will see things like this. This woman of note, or these women of influence did dot, dot, dot. This is because women saw the hope for their homes in this morality Christianity was teaching. Women saw how this morality had hope for their homes. Here's a tough question. How often do you think and pray for purity? How often do you think and pray for purity? To be honest, it doesn't often make my list. How about you? You see, the massive amount of sexual impurity is so vast, it just seems normal to live in this mess. But that's not the way God wants it to be. We need to pray for our own personal purity first, then for our family and His church. But we also need to pray for all those lost ones who do not see this truth about the need for sexual purity. I read that there is this. A young American soldier thinks of sex every 18 minutes. Wow. As best I can remember being one of those young soldiers, I think mine was about 15 minutes for me. But the average American young soldier thinks of sex every 18 minutes. That's amazing. I also read that older men think about sex more than they do it. Older men think about sex more and do it less. As best I can remember from 7 years ago when I became a widower, I did not have a big plan for being a widower. Single and celibate, that was it. That was my whole list. Do you know that STDs in Whiteside County are up 400%? Did you know that STD rate for Whiteside County is up 400%? Gonorrhea continues to be on the rise, up more than 400% over last year. That's a massive jump. The truth is we are facing two pandemics. COVID-19 is the most obvious, but STDs is a second pandemic that we need to put on our prayer list and in our hearts. This is my call to our personal repentance today, to put this purity and this problem onto our prayer list in a top of it. We need to put a prayer for sexual purity on the top of our prayer list. Do you agree with that idea? I hope so. The First Jerusalem Council accomplished several important things. Let me list them for you. Number one, the gospel of divine grace was affirmed. So the gospel of grace was affirmed. Number two, the unity of the church was safe. James' opinion brought unity to the church and it was safe. Number three, evangelism of the Gentiles could proceed without any hindrance. Number four, most of the churches the Holy Spirit and Paul will found are after this event, so this is a good precedent for the founding of those churches. Number five, the Gentile churches that had already been started were giving an amazing encouragement. Number six, the future of the church as a whole was guaranteed. The unity and future of the church was guaranteed. So, what is there for us in all James is saying? What is our bottom line? Really, only two things for us. First, sexual sin, God's moral law. What does that mean for each of us? Jesus made it clear one needs to be physically pure sexually. Jesus made it clear that physical purity is important. Jesus also made it clear that one needs mental purity as well. Not doing sexual things is a lot easier than not thinking about them. But we need to work on our mind as well to keep it pure in this impure world we live in. Do you agree? Number two, we always need to do all we personally can to maintain the purity of a gospel of grace. It's all about what Jesus did. The gospel of grace is that one needs to confess their sins, ask for forgiveness, believe in Jesus, and ask Jesus to save them, and it's a done deal. People often are deceived into thinking that one needs to do something else to be saved. But the Bible is teaching everything has been done by Jesus Christ. All one can do is believe and receive in it. And that's not a work. It's to believe in the work of another. We put no faith in ourselves and all faith in Jesus. We as a church of the one true living God are trying our best to be centered on His Holy Spirit and to glorify His Son, Jesus Christ. We study His Bible each week to get to know Him better. His undeserved gift of grace is our hope. His faith is enough, and as born-again believers, we are humbled to be a part of His holy priesthood. Here's my conclusion. The gospel of grace is for all people. It does not see a Jew or a Gentile. It does not look to one believing to see anyone's goodness, their merit. It does not matter what race they are or what background they come from. It only looks to Jesus Christ's substitutionary death and resurrection as one receives this gift of forgiveness and His righteousness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your great love for us. Thank You so much for the Son that You allowed to be here and live in this mess we live in. Such an impure world, and yet lived it with personal purity and perfectness. That is our hope. Lord Jesus, thank You for sending Your best friend, the Holy Spirit. We seek Him today in our understanding of who You and Your Father are, in our understanding of how it is You would have us live this life of grace and purity in such a messed up world. We pray for all those who were lost and deceived. And may we not be among those deceived. May we see clearly what You have for us and instantly obey with all of our heart. Like James, once he understood the truth, it was all ahead. And I hope that's what our lives are like. Once we come to believe the truth, we're all in, totally committed, totally surrendered to Your resurrection life. That's my prayer for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was sure by now, God, You would have reached down and wiped our tears away. Stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear You whisper through the rain, I'm with You. And as Your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this dark, and I will lift my hand, 'cause you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand, never left my side. Though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry, you raised me up again. My strength is almost gone, how can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this dark, and I will lift my hands, 'cause you are. I will praise you in this storm. Oh, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker. Heaven and earth.